Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
What is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Okay. I did a deep dive on John Fetterman. John Fetterman, if you don't know, is a lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And his wife was suffered a racial verbal assault in the supermarket. She is Brazilian, so naturally somebody cornered her in the supermarket and yelled the N-word at her repeatedly. Cool. And followed her into the parking lot. And so then I looked up Fetterman, and I ask everyone with a phone right now to do so, because this man, he looks
like a bad guy from Mulan.
Yes, he definitely looks like he stole a correction officer's uniform and used it to escape prison.
It's wild. It's an aggressive. Yeah. Them as a couple, I'm like, hold on.
There's certain things where, like, he's got a really, really intense goatee.
Yeah.
And he's also got the same vibe of Jaws from James Bond.
Yeah,
right.
Like kind of lurching around, like very big. Yeah, look at that. Wow. Like that guy,
for sure.
If that person, assailant, had known what this woman's husband looked like, I'm assuming.
I think she did. I think if she knows what that guy's wife looks like,
right.
I think she probably knows. He went to Harvard. He didn't escape from prison.
No, he's like on paper, like a really chill guy. You're like worked with the big brothers and big sisters and like got obsessed with the idea of like your birth being a random lottery for your outcomes and things like that and how that affects his idea of fairness. But he looks scary as fuck.
Yeah, he just never changed his look.
And, that's dope.
You know, more power to
Why
him.
Should he? Why should he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to.
There's just something, even like when you look at his Wikipedia page, he's like, looks just so underdressed for whatever official photo this is. Like, it's clearly his bureaucrat, like, yearbook photo where he goes to the Capitol and, like, this is like a lieutenant governor. And he's wearing, like, a rayon safari shirt.
Not happy to be there. I would say it's like one of Quicksilver's nicest button ups.
Right. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. I don't know. That's definitely a top level billabong. But his smirk definitely says that he wasn't smiling. And the photographer was like, come on, Lieutenant Governor, give us a little something more. And he just went, Like, just, I will raise the corners of my mouth flatly.
Oh, we're out of time. All right. Thanks, John.
Oh, man. I did not bother to look. Yeah, because I read that headline. And usually in my morning, I'm like, okay, where's my daily dose of racism? And I'm like, okay, God, the fucking Lieutenant Governor's wife. But yeah, I did not connect. Thank you for doing that little bit of work to get us to see the whole picture.
Wow. Yeah, the closest he comes to smiling is looking a little bit pissed off. That's as far as he goes.
Just a little bit pissed off. Right. So that's nice. Yeah.
What is something you think is overrated?
Okay, I'm annoyed with this shit. I hate it. Like, stealing content online bugs the shit out of me. Because...
Why?
Like, comedians... Because...
I mean, my favorite comedian is the Fat Jew, and I think he's underrated. I agree.
He's a tastemaker.
He's the Scorsese of tweet stealers.
Yeah.
He's a tastemaker. It's just, I don't know, it's so annoying because, like, I've gotten to know more, like, online personalities, and it's like, I don't know, you're just like, fuck, like, this affects their income, like, directly. It affects, like, their opportunities directly. And so I've started to tell my, like, non-comic friends, I'm like, unfollow this fake-ass account. They stole my friend's tweets. And my non-comic friends, like, don't care.
Yeah.
They, like, don't. They're just like, I don't care. I like the follow. It's a good follow. And I'm like, these are people behind these accounts that are just benefiting off of, like, my friend's work. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
So it's been bugging the shit out of me. Like, a lot of them... A lot of those, like, content curators, which, what the fuck are you talking? Like, it sounds like an art gallery, but for dick jokes. Like, what are you doing?
Right.
These content curators, some of them will, like, pay or, like, ask and tag your thing. But, like, a lot of them just, like, take shit.
Yeah. And even then, the tag, like, sure. But at the end of the day, they're guaranteeing, like, impressions or a certain amount of interaction, which makes them more, you know, attractive to people who'd want to pay for sponsored posts and things like that. And that whole ecosystem, it's all tied together. But I can only imagine, like, trying to get someone to care about, like, how this kind of joke theft or content theft, like, actually affects humans in real life. Because it's like another layer. Someone, like, too many people already don't even understand how their, like, labor is being exploited. So then on top of it, like, hey, you know that fucking thing you stare at with your mouth open and giggle at? That's also fucking someone. I'm like, what are you? It's just memes. It's just memes.
Right.
Yeah. It's just pictures. Somebody makes us fucking memes.
What do you mean? I'm, like, just giving 60 hours of my life for fucking nothing. What are you talking about? It's just work. It's all good.
It's also like, I don't know. It's like, how, like, we all are trying to, like, raise our social media, whatever. Like, we try to, like, tweet and, like, put up content or whatever. I can't imagine. Like, I hate that part. I hate the part of, like, I love tweeting. I love coming up with jokes. I love whatever. But I hate the part where you're like, you have to screenshot and then post it on Instagram and then post that to your store. Like, the business part of it where, like, you're trying to, like, get more followers. I fucking hate that part. So imagine that's, like, that's all your job is to, like, but, like, what kind of rotted, brainwormy, like, thing, if that's all you do, you don't even come up with a creative part.
Right, right.
I can't imagine what a dinner conversation would be like with you.
Like, but I feel like that's the direction so much of our culture is going, like, sort of the curating, like, valuing people who are good at, like, curating things and, like, finding cool things out of, like, a just massive amount of information. Like, I don't think it's great, but I do feel like that is just generally, like, the values that have taken hold in general, like, on social media.
Yeah.
Like memes come from a book that was literally, it's the book that introduced the idea of genes, also introduced the idea of memes. And it's just like, a meme is, like, this disembodied idea where the whole goal of
the idea is to reproduce itself. And it, like, that book, like, Richard Dawkins didn't write about it as, like, you know, and that's intellectual property. It was just like this disembodied thing where, like, if the idea that is created is replicable, then it is a successful meme. But it's just weird. There is, like, an inherent contradiction there.
Yeah.
Especially when you're a really talented writer who is putting your talents into creating something, and then it just reproduces out of control and people remove the author's name from it, which is annoying and nobody should ever do.
Dana Donnelly, who's been on this podcast before, had, like, a really great tweet that I, like, have, like, I've always, like, thought that, but she put it into words. And it was about how, like, if not enough people, I forget exactly what she said, but if not enough people replicate it, then it's stealing. But if enough people do it, then it's a meme.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? So it's like, it's but I think that's threshold? Like slight. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know where that threshold is. But I think even beyond that, like with memes, like people like change the punchline. They try to come up with like clever right. ways. But this like screenshotting and just like posting it onto your own thing with that, like that's like you get money for that. That's right. like that's more obvious of like a fucked up thing. Let's yeah. at least start there.
Right.
Yeah. But that's almost like bringing like a cell phone camera to a movie and taping it on your cell phone and yeah. then hooking your phone up to a projector at your own janky the theater. And people are like, yeah, man, I love
charging
this place.
Price.
And you're like, yo, this is the shitty version of the real one over. What the fuck yeah. are you doing? They're like, I don't know. I just it's less to think about. I follow this one thing.
I don't
and it
have
comes to.
Me. Yeah.
But then
right
there's also the thing where everybody has the same idea at the same time, and it seems like they're copying off each other. I forget which news story involving Trump. I think it was when he tested positive for COVID. And like I saw 30 people tweet, I did not see that coming, like Nazi, but Nazi.
Oh, yeah.
And at first I was like, oh, man, they're like ripping each other off. But then as more and more people made that exact same joke, I was like, wow, it's just our brains are all like the same.
I've tried to recently, and there's like some people I've made friends with, some Twitter people, and some of us have this attitude of like, well, like I've deleted viral tweets where it was parallel thought mm-hmm. because you want your jokes to be like unique, right? So I've started doing that. And before with stand-up, I used to not do that as much. I used to be like, well, we both thought of it. We're going to deliver it in a different way. Right. It's going to be a different thing. But now with like tweets, I'm like, oh, it's like the exact same line. Like, I don't want someone to look up this joke and then see like 30 other people right. make this joke. So like there have been ones that have been like it was on the way up and it looked like it would hit like maybe 100K in the next day. And I just like deleted it because somebody with like 900 followers also did it or whatever.
Right.
But it's like so I have that attitude. I know like a lot of other people don't. But I'm like, why wouldn't you want your feed to be like, why wouldn't you, if you're a creative, if you're like making the content, like you don't want to have hack jokes, you know? So like I will just tell my friends, I'm like, hey, by the way, somebody else did this joke, and then like leave it up to them to delete. But like, I know there are a few of us who are like, oh, yeah, I'm deleting that immediately because it's not unique.
Totally.
I don't know. It's hard.
But I think you're right in terms of like stand up, because that's a thing that also like began being policed incredibly strictly. Like if people had like similar observations and it's just like, but I mean, at a certain point, like a lot of it is who is saying it and how they're saying it. And,
yeah, for sure.
I mean,
and like the context and like a lot of us are coming up with like very similar ideas. It's like, I think stand up has more flexibility and like how in all of those things.
Yeah. What is something you think is overrated?
This is something I've been banging the drum about for like 4 straight years. The concept of gaffes, as in like when a politician or a candidate says something dumb in public, those like the concept that that's something that matters and will actually sink a candidate. Trump has killed that forever.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad because Twitter loves this. If Trump misspells a word in a tweet, that misspelled word will trend all day. And I'm telling you, I watched for 3.5 years when everyone was like, oh, covfefe, that's going to be the thing that alerts America that this man is a moron. It doesn't work like that anymore. The average American actually finds it kind of endearing when you're not polished as a politician for whatever reason. In the modern era, we kind of like it when they screw up. And it was the same thing in the primaries. And they're like, Biden is a gaffe machine. He can't string together 2 sentences without getting the name of the city he's in wrong or something like that. Nobody cares. Let that be dead forever. Because what happened with Trump, where his numbers didn't, it took a worldwide apocalypse to make his approval move down by like the 4 points it required to give the other candidate a lead, some kind of substantial lead in the polling.
Right.
Right.
But the 20,000 gaffes he committed did not do that at all.
Yeah.
Just in general, it's like seems like nothing, even attacks from the right about like the behavior of politicians who are Democrats, just like they ring so hollow. And it's like, I think this is, we're past all of this now because you're so craven over there. Like the fact that you're upset, I'm having a failure to connect the outrage that the people on the right have, you know, like for even like with the Hunter Biden things where they're like, oh, this will get them. And it's like, no, everyone's completely numb to everything, actually. I feel like it might motivate your base, but I don't know if it's going to have that effect of like, oh, God, did you guys see this thing? It's lights out for them, huh?
Right.
There was an woman who had claimed that Trump had sexually assaulted her when she was underage. That story just came and went in a blip. Like, no one listening even knows what I'm talking about. Like, it just, like something that would have been a showstopper 20 years ago. And then the New York Times did this huge breakdown about how Trump was basically just using the White House to divert money to his businesses. And they probably devoted $150,000 in resources and reporting and man hours putting it together. And no, it trended for like an hour. I saw a few like political types on Twitter tweeting. It's like, oh, this is great reporting. It's a great breakdown of the level of corruption here. Yeah.
Yeah,
the fly on Mike Pence's head trended longer than that.
Right.
I mean, but that thing was hilarious. Did you see that thing? It was sitting there and it didn't even leave.
Dude, longboarding to dreams?
I mean, come on. Yeah, I do think that it's sometimes like because people do say that Hillary Clinton's email, like the fact that Comey reopened that investigation a week before the election had an impact on voters. And I think it's something to do with like how the negative story interacts with like what we suspect about that person or like what people suspect and like what the overall negative feelings are, like with the Rick Perry thing where he couldn't name anything. Like he's just couldn't remember anything. Like that interacted with the fact that he's clearly like not smart and like propped up by speech writers and you know.
Didn't they make him start wearing glasses after that? Like he looked smarter. Like, I've seen him.
We gotta make you seem smart, my man.
But with Hillary, that's the thing, is that was a culmination of literally 20 however many years since 1992, 20 some years of anti-Hillary, anti-Clinton, the Clintons are corrupt hatred. Like if you were in conservative circles in the 90s, you had like the Clinton murder list, like the list of 49 people that Hillary and Bill Clinton had murdered together.
Right.
Arranged a plane crash was one of them. And like car accidents, like just made them. And in conservative circles, like that they were these deeply corrupt people. So that even though the emails didn't say anything, it was just a signal to people who were already ready to hate her. And I think that's one lesson we have about 2016 now, is that probably any other candidate, even one chosen at random, probably squeaks out that election.
Right.
But they just uniquely hated Hillary so much for a bunch of reasons. Some of it sexism, some of it the Clintons. But
yeah,
she was like in terms of her negatives and all that, it was a case they were kind of like asking people to hold their nose and vote for her. And that's one reason why this year is different. People genuinely do like Biden, but you know, again, it's the contrast with him and Trump is just so strong that maybe anybody would have the same effect.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. Then I also wanted to mention that cops, you know, earlier in the year, because of the Black Lives Matter movement and, you know, movements across the country that were pointing out just the injustices around policing in America, Cops was canceled by the Paramount Network.
Right.
And that it has so quietly been uncanceled with regards to foreign distribution. So distribution in any non-American market, they're still going to be making it. And then who knows like how it's going to be distributed in the U.S. I'm sure they'll find U.S. channels.
They're like, well, if you get BBC America, then you get Cops.
Right.
Like, wait, what? I don't know. I mean, yeah, now it's just like, oh, but we're still in the market of exporting copaganda.
Right.
If you're interested in that for your burgeoning authoritarian state where you want the police to walk around like militarized goons. So yeah. Cool. But
yeah, very cool,
I like
very
how
cool.
It's just sort of like we cancel, but it's just for international. It's just for international. We know it's illegal here. OK, we know this is totally illegal and not cool to do here, but just cross the border. It's for Canada.
Yeah. And it also, I think, same company. So it's still like, you know, that gesture was just kind of performative wokeness.
No, performative gestures in such a critical moment regarding the civil rights of Black people and other minorities. God damn it. What
PepsiCo,
is this place?
Who made a big deal about retiring Aunt Jemima. And of course, the right made a huge deal about it because
You know,
they love to have stories like that where they can be like, I mean, come on, what's next? According to one executive, they still haven't actually retired Aunt Jemima. According to one executive, it's because, get ready to feel queasy, during these trying pandemic times, customers are still looking for the Aunt Jemima products they know and love. So
wow.
Yeah.
So we've, rather than using the terrible trope of Aunt Jemima, we've rebranded to Mammy's Pancakes.
Right.
It's like, oh no, they're doubling down. It's, yeah, of course. Of course, it's in the end, it's like any company is like, look, we would sever ties with the racist tumor of our business, but it's part of our business and it generates money, and money is our God, not fairness. So, sorry.
Yeah, I think that that's a kind of the reality that people just have to kind of, you know, money pretty much guides. I mean, if it wasn't profitable for them, you know.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be doing it. And the fact that, I think the scary part to me is just that it's still continuously, even as bad as it is, it still continues to be profitable, meaning that there are people out there who are buying it and they're finding it viable enough to continue.
I wonder if they just said, they called it fucking, they did a Lady Antebellum type rebrand and they called them AJ's Pancakes or Auntie J's. And it's just text. There's no face. Are people going to be like, where the fuck did it go? Where's the fuck? I guess I'm going to buy some other brand.
That's a really good idea.
Like what?
That's a really good idea.
Where the, like, what's the psychology of the consumer that they're concerned about? Like in this thing, we're like, in these times, people need their racist pancakes.
I think it's people's like romantic connection with memory. That, you know, and it comes down to this thing where it's just like, oh, you're gonna take this. Now, what else are you gonna take? You take my
mom,
take away my childhood, my mom. Yeah. Like, I could take away G.I. Joe for a lot of those guys right now. You know what I mean? And they would hate me for it. But that's like one of the most racist cartoons on the fucking planet. Right. Like, I know this as a brown person because I remember watching it as a kid. You know, and then there was like, I remember every time we would play G.I. Joe like with my friends. I could only be Cobra, only because Cobra had this thing where they remember that where they go Cobra la 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 la. Yeah, remember that? Right.
Oh wow!
And I thought about it and I was like, oh, that's supposed to be us.
Wow!
Right, you know what I mean? Right, like, right.
There and Cobra's base was always in the desert, and it was like it was clearly like this programming.
Cobra,
of like,
famously American snake.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. It was just. It was like this. But it bothered me, and I remember like feeling so sad as a kid because I did like G.I. Joe,
right?
You know what I mean. But I didn't want to feel like I was always going to be painted as the enemy. So, but that I mean, there's just a shit ton of that stuff.
Yeah,
shit ton of that stuff from back in the day.
I think what their research is probably telling them, you know, and their research being listening to the beginning of this episode of this podcast, that people are, you know, drawn and especially during these trying times, people are drawn to, you know, nostalgia. There's a General Mills thing that's happening that we talked about in a recent episode where they are going back to original recipe breakfast cereal on like all their on Golden Grahams and Cocoa Puffs and all these things that we didn't know they had changed the recipe on, but just being like it's gonna taste like childhood was enough to
it's gonna taste like your parents are together, but that part where they were fighting a bunch and about to get divorced.
Right.
I'm not gonna lie, that sounds good to me. Yeah. Like I think I'd be right. Like, I haven't touched breakfast cereal in a long time, but that makes me feel like, oh man, I think I'm gonna try that.
If Donald Trump was smart, he would campaign on that. He's like, we're gonna make it feel like back when remember your parents were together. Remember that shit?
Yeah, that like that, baby. Cereal.
It's gonna be like that. You didn't even worry about shit, did you? Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
But yeah, I mean, in these trying times, you know, as Black Americans struggle for equality, we want our customers to retreat to the safe harbors of the antebellum South and chattel slavery.
Right. Yeah, they're demanding that the market basically regulate itself, which has never ever worked.
I mean, memories, I guess retro Jordans too. That's kind of profiting off memories.
Yeah,
too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been regressing though. So I was ready for it all. I've been, it's been 1996 in my mind for many years.
Hell yeah.
Hilarious.
I'm going to go put the Fugees the score on right now.
I did want to talk about this story that I think doom scrollers everywhere noticed, which is a gentleman by the name of Robert Cahaley, who was one of the only pollsters that predicted Trump's win in 2016. And, you know, there are a handful. Most of them are predicting that this time is different. Robert Cahaley is saying, nah, we got another one coming.
It's a re-up. He's going to win. Yeah, I mean, his whole thing in 2016 was that he said a lot of pollsters weren't. He has like his own method where he asks other questions to try and nail down who this person might be. And, you know, the big thing that he always talks about is this idea of like social acceptance or social desirability bias and how that affects people's response in a lot of things. And he said that, in fact, in 2020, he thinks it's like a worse take to have now to say you're supporting the president, that he's trying to adjust for that as well. But one of the big things he was saying is like, you know, a lot of the polls say Biden's going to win Georgia or Florida or North Carolina, or like, you know, leading. And he's like, that's all fucking, there's no way. He's just saying Georgia, Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, Texas, Arizona, they're not nailed on for Biden, like by any stretch of the imagination, despite what the polls are saying. And he predicts Trump will win in all of those states. And he was also saying that while he has lost a lot of support, you know, he was saying like, yeah, he's lost a lot of support with suburban women. He's lost some support with the elderly, but he has picked up support with Black and Latino voters. Surprisingly, he said he was really like, it's gone up slightly. So there is some movement in that area. But, you know, with all that to say, I was just there. I'm like, we got Jason on. So, you know what? I'll put that down and let us discuss that, because, yes, he feels very strongly that there's not much difference between the two.
This is, for one thing, no one who gives an answer to this is not somewhat motivated in their reasoning. Like, I don't want to give anyone a reason to not vote. And obviously, people who are afraid of a second Trump term are also very afraid of saying anything that causes people to maybe be to relax. And so there's a motivation to kind of in those channels to kind of boost anyone who's saying, hey, Trump's chances are better than you think, because you want people to go out and vote. It does, from the early voting, it appears people were going to have like record turnout, like, and anything can happen. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, the whole issue that I like Nate Silver. I know a lot of people have grown to hate him. What I like about him is he's one of the few people that points out that, look, we have not had that many presidential elections, period, in the modern era, in the polling era, and in the mass media era. You're only talking about the ones going back to, what, 1960, the era in which TV has been a thing? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a small sample size. And this is why, and so anybody who says, well, you know, because you hear these headlines like, well, no president has ever lost when the unemployment has been blank, or this guy who's predicted four straight elections, you know, says blank is going to happen. And in every case, it's a really small sample size. In every election, you know, they used to consider it almost an extreme scenario that you would have a popular vote and electoral college split like we just had. And I don't remember anybody predicting that Hillary would win by 3 million votes and lose the Electoral College. But now that it's happened, it makes perfect sense. It's like, oh, yeah, this is kind of baked in that, you know, like the Electoral College has like a conservative slant because it gives more preference to rural voters, right? So knowing that, yeah, it's not. They've in the simulations they run at 538, they've got somewhere, I think Biden wins by like 6 points and still loses the Electoral College. Because of so many of the votes are concentrated in California or whatever states he flips, and then Trump narrowly wins all these others, and that can do it. It's mathematically possible. It's just that virtually every other polling agency other than this guy disagrees, because the whole concept of people being reluctant to give like an unpopular answer, that's been a part of polling methodology going back to the dawn of polls. Like, this is an ongoing problem. They actually have algorithms where they try to, account for it. I've got a link here we can include in the footnotes or whatever from 538. When they talk about that, the issue is not, one, it's, I don't know how many Trump supporters you know, they tend to not be shy.
Right.
and this guy's saying, well, yeah, but in a blue state, they'd be afraid to admit that they're, but these polls are not conducted on the street in front of their liberal friends. They're often anonymous online surveys. And a Biden supporter in deep red Alabama, you could say the same thing. Like, they're afraid to come out as, like, that's a place where you put a Biden sign in your yard and somebody's going to shoot it with a shotgun. So, again, the reason people like this narrative is because of this kind of thing that liberals are so mean to Trump supporters, and the cancel culture and whatever they throw around. Like, these people are so vicious that everyone's afraid to admit they support Trump. That, I mean, Trump is running ahead of a lot of Republican Senate candidates. He's running ahead of Congress. So if that's the case, you would think you would have those same Republicans saying, oh yeah, I support blank for Senate, but I won't vote for that filthy criminal Trump, even though they secretly are. You're not getting that. You're getting the opposite answer. So anything can happen. Again, every time you say something like this on Twitter, you immediately get a wave of answers like, don't get complacent. Please don't get complacent. I'm telling you, there are many, many motivated Trump voters. It's just that it would be much weirder if he won now than if he had been winning in 2016. 2016 was unlikely. I think if you redo that election, he wins it 3 times and loses 7. This time, it would be much stranger. Mm.
So just going off of 538, because I agree their methodology is more valid than a lot of the other ones, there's still, and I think rightly so, they still have a sizable chance that he wins. It's not like it's 13 in 100 is what they currently have it at. They currently give him a 8 in 10 chance that Biden wins the popular vote but loses the Electoral College. So
wait, 8 in 10 that he wins the popular vote?
Sorry, 8 in 100. So 8% chance. And then 5% chance that Trump wins both the Electoral College and the popular vote.
Right.
So that's what happened the first time. I think we look for polls to do something that they can't do. Like last time, I think heading into the election, it was high 30% chance that Trump would win. So he's still an underdog, but that's not that much of an underdog. Like if a baseball player going up to bat bats over 300, that is a good hitter. You're going to the All-Star surprised. Game. Yeah, you're not surprised at all if he gets a hit. And this is a 1 in 10 or a 13 in 100 chance is not likely, but it's also, you know, it's a thing that sometimes happens. Like if a pitcher gets up in baseball and gets a hit, like you see that all the time. That happens all the time if you watch a lot of baseball. So I don't know. I just think that, like, anything can happen. Those states that he talks about Trump winning, like that are being granted to Biden, are all very close in the 538 polling averages. And even if Trump wins Texas, Ohio, Georgia, Iowa, North Carolina, Arizona, and Florida, he would still lose if Biden won Pennsylvania.
He has to basically sweep everything where he's down by a few points.
Right.
So you need a polling error that is somehow wrong across demographic groups, across states, which
happens. They've made the point that when it's not like these are all independent variables, right? It's not like if suddenly he overperforms by 6 points in Ohio, it would require him to equally unlikely overperform by 6 points in Pennsylvania. It's like, no, they're responding to the same condition that was true across Ohio and Pennsylvania and Florida, which is what happened in the last election. But those are all things they take into account. They're all things that can happen, which is why Biden, they were not the ones who in the 2016 election were like, yeah, Trump has less than a 1 in 100 chance of winning.
Yeah.
They were like, no, it's like, he's an underdog, but it could easily happen. And it did.
Some of the pundits, the way they were talking, felt like the halftime of Game 6 of the NBA Finals, where like the Lakers had such a lead, where like at halftime, they're like, yeah, credit to the Miami Heat. They really, fought hard. And I was like, yo, don't do this shit right now. Right, like, let the game fucking end. And it has like this similar feeling. But yeah, I think most people still have that trauma of feeling like the polls are accurate. And I think at the end of the day, all you can do is just try and get as much turnout as possible. But
the one thing,
anything can happen.
The one thing I think they're vastly underrating, that they say a 4 in 100 chance that the election hinges on a recount. I think that we're very likely to see Trump and the Republicans and Fox News find a way to invalidate states where it's close or even not that close, but they will find ways to throw question on a bunch of votes and claim voter fraud. And, you know, it's just something Republicans have done before. And this is an administration and a Republican Party that no longer is required to hide it when they're wrong or when they're doing something illegal. Like, they have lost all, you know, any tether to accountability. So why wouldn't they do that?
Yeah, it's like a case where if, well, like, let's say you're in the NBA Finals game where for some reason, according to some rule, we have to win by 15 points.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
It's not, it can't be close. We can't win by one vote. And I don't know if the Republicans in your audience hate it if I keep saying we, like we're on the part of the Biden administration. But it's,
yeah,
it's a case where it has to be a big, it doesn't have to be a landslide, but it's got to be enough that on election night, we pretty much know, and that there's not enough of a, where there's not, it's not close enough to trigger any recounts or anything like that. It's got to be, you know, 7 points in Pennsylvania, you know, maybe 3 points in Florida, like where even if all those that where they won by 2, 1, 2, 3 points, where it still wouldn't get him to,
right,
to 270 or whatever. It's got to be an overwhelming victory. So it's, it, yeah, that's what I'm nervous about. It's not, it would be stunning to me if Trump got more votes. That would mean something truly weird had happened. And especially the fact that 10% of the people have already voted. There's something like 17 million votes in already.
Yeah.
What I'm more alarmed by is that it has to be by a comfortable margin if you want this to do what it's going to do, which is truly be a rebuke to Trump and truly send the message that doing it the way Trump did it is not a model for future Republicans, like having, you know, an attorney general that's just your attack dog. Right. Like, this is not a model that works. I don't want Tucker Carlson to be out there dreaming of running in 2024 as like Trump, but a little bit more media savvy, a little bit smarter and younger. I don't want that. I want it to obliterate the idea that this is a good way to function as a president.
Yeah. That is a thing that's being talked about a lot on the right is Tucker Carlson, the future Republican presidential candidate.
I mean, he'll do great.
Yeah. He's I mean, he probably will.
I mean, he will, because there is some actual, like, you know, racist asshole with his shit together that's looking at Trump. He's like, you're fucking this all up, man.
Yeah.
He's like, this is
it could have been so much. It could have been so much worse if Trump actually knew what he was doing.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I know those people are like rubbing their mitts for another bite of that apple.
Right. Tucker Carlson's already done the, you know, populist economic thing. Trump like made head fakes towards populist economic policies, but didn't embrace them at all and still just kept
getting. It's funny because then Tucker Carlson will say shit is like, why is it a surprise now that millennials prefer socialism? Well, if you look at the economics of it, and like it's like he's smart enough to know like what the motivations are generationally. And I think that's where it gets dangerous.
Yeah,
because if some people are like, well, you know, Tucker Carlson got a point about that. I mean, I'm not a person of color or, you know, in a marginalized group. But what he's saying about like my class thing, that's facts.
Yeah.
So,
and he knows how to be a messy bitch who loves drama. Like,
he
accused the New York Times of giving away, like doxing him.
And, okay. Give it a rest.
Yeah. Do you guys know what you're going to do for Halloween? How you're going to celebrate?
I haven't. I literally have not thought about it once. In fact, the first time I thought about Halloween was about 30 seconds ago when you started talking about the Beverly Hills.
Me too.
Thing.
Jack, I even forgot that we were even in October when I was like down, like in the summer, I was like, oh shit, we're about to hit 3 years because that was 2017. I just realized we were in fucking October right now.
We just passed.
And isn't Halloween on like a Friday or Saturday this year? It would have been
great. It's a full moon and it's a blue moon. It's the second full moon of October, which is, it's going to be, and it's Halloween during a pandemic. My neighborhood gets a lot of trick-or-treaters, so we have to like figure out what we're gonna do.
What are you gonna do?
I think just put like a bench out that just says like see you next year, but then just hope people aren't too mad. But I also think like nobody, like none of our neighbors are planning on like doing trick-or-treating, so
I was so excited on New Year's for 2020. I was one of those guys who was like, 2020 is the year. 2020 is when like the our symmetry. Lives will change. The country will change. We're going to get a new leader. Everything's going to be great. Blah, blah, blah. And then like, wow. Just like.
Life comes at you quick.
I've gotten rocked.
Yeah. Yeah. It's rough. And it's rough on those trick-or-treaters.
The naive hope of New Year's. December 31st.
I can't even remember where the fuck I was on New Year's.
Part of me wants to get the PVC pipe and drop the candy down from the second floor, like down a slide.
Not a bad idea. Which would be dope,
but then it's like...
Bust some kid's head open.
Yeah, and it's like
terminal velocity.
Just like firing them.
Here comes some jawbreakers, kids!
But you're also like putting pressure on your neighbors to then like come up with some strategy. And also it's like for the people receiving the candy, like, do they want to receive candy from like some house, you know, that's like.
Well, also, what do they do? Knock on the PVC pipe?
Doom, doom, doom.
Yeah. Oh, in my neighborhood, like you just sit out front and there's a line. Like people line up.
Oh, it's so you're wild. Like one of those mobile games, like those mobile zombie games where you just have the machine gun mowing down zombies.
Exactly.
Where it's like walls of enemies. It's like walls of trick-or-treaters.
Just a turret of candy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now oh, shit. Knows, there you go. Candy turret.
Everybody knows Jack doesn't live in Beverly Hills now. That's one thing we know.
That's
his own
shame.
For
damn sure. Yeah.
I've never lived in an LA neighborhood that felt like that, at least not in the street that felt like that. I've always felt like it was dead.
I've always lived in I've always lived in a neighborhood where I had to go to another neighborhood to trick or treat. I never lived in like the lit trick or treating neighborhood.
Yeah, we did the when I was a kid, we did the pillowcases and we got on.
Oh yeah, who didn't?
And we got on bikes.
Yeah.
Oh shit.
So we would go down to a street, run up and down the street. It was not about fun. It was about who gets the most candy.
Numbers. Yeah, numbers. Yeah.
That's always funny. Yeah,
churn.
There's always that group of kids that is like sprinting full speed when everyone else is like, you know, parents are drinking beers. And you're like, what the fuck was that? A bunch of fucking minions ran by me in T-Rexes.
No, for us, it was like, how many pillowcases can I get?
Yeah.
Right. To the did you ever bring them to school? Did it ever some people like, yo, check this out. And just lay down the heavy bag on you and like getting in trouble that like the teacher's like, you can't bring this shit here. What are you doing?
I also grew up in upstate New York where it was freezing by Halloween.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
So cold. Yeah. So people,
your bike had snow chain tires.
Oh my God. And we would have like parkas on, you know, like a parka over your ninja costume or whatever.
Right.
But it was like, you know,
you just look like a ninja warming up on the sidelines.
Right. And I'm forgetting the brand, but there was like a really popular brand of puffy coat that I think was like First Ascent or something like that. It wasn't North Face because we couldn't afford North Face. It was like whatever mountain was under the bootleg version of that. And First Gear or something. Oh, God, I'm going to remember it. But anyway, I remember like all the old people like, well, what are you supposed to be this year? And I was like, I'm cold. Give me candy and shut
I'm in
up.
A rush, motherfucker. Let's now give go. Me this fucking Butterfinger. God damn it. When are you going to get king size? The neighbors got him up the street, man. You look poor as fuck. I got to go.
And back in the day, they would give you a plastic baggie with homemade cookies sometimes. And I was nowadays,
fuck.
No way. No one would eat that nowadays.
Oh, yeah, because I remember like when edibles, like weed edibles started, and like that's always like the trick du jour clickbait for conservative
Who
moms.
Who is handing like, out weed edibles. Drugs.
Everyone's like, too expensive. Yeah. I'm wasting on no fucking kid. You dumb. Better watch out. Look
the
at the labels.
That I'm handing kids like, 5 milligram chocolate covered blueberries or something like that? Like, those are expensive and I love them.
Yeah, like, you know how much a tin of chocolate covered Kivas cost? I'm not balling out of control and I wouldn't waste it on a 12-year-old dressed as spider fuck. Because
when
fuck
I go, I'm always like, I always go, and throw in a couple of chocolate covered Kiva tints too, the blueberries. And they're like, okay, $454.
Like, okay, you know what? Let's get rid of those. I'll just take the rolling papers. No weed? Nah. How much is that? That's $400.
Yeah, $360.
Damn.
You know, that story probably was born out of some fucking parent whose kid found it and had to be quick on their feet. Like, oh my God, someone must have given this to... Holy shit, you really don't know who our neighbors are. You really don't.
Some Ferris Bueller-ass little kid who's gullible-ass parents are like, I'm calling the local news. This is had enough. They gave him a whole bong.
A lit blunt. I can't believe it.
Halloween cookies, though, the ones that are like basically butter that go around, that it go, they're like little
just slice them off,
cupcakes,
right?
That go around the Reese's cup, the mini Reese's cup. You know that one?
Oh, yes, yes. When you put it in. Yeah.
That shit is.
Damn. Shout out to those baked goods.
Yeah.
Halloween. Halloween has some good baked goods associated with it.
Yeah.
We all know what? I think that's what I'll do. I'm just going to buy one of those Pillsbury tubes where you slice off the cookies, like the pumpkin ones.
Yeah.
Eat like three of those. Smoke a blunt. and watch some like fucking Arsenal highlights, and we're good to go, baby.
Yeah, play a little Halloween music's pretty fun too. There's like some good spooky jams. Mm-hmm. Always feel like Halloween somebody's song. Watching me. Thriller, Monster Mash.
Monster Mash is a jam.
Yeah, we were playing that this morning in my house.
Was a payback.
Hey, is there a Dave Matthews Halloween album?
There is a Dave Matthews creepy song. It's called "And Another Thing."
There's also a Dave Matthews song called Halloween, I think.
There is. And there's a Dave Matthews song called Warehouse, is kind of creepy too. But the And Another Thing is weird. It's the song where like he's just like, and it's really weird. It's on the Crash album.
I just looked up the lyrics to Halloween, and like like this could be just a random word generator's version of Dave Matthews' lyrics. The first verse, "Hey little dreamers, eyes open and staring up at me." It's like that's just love that such song. A Dave Matthews ass lyric.
He's like, "Hey little dreamers, eyes,
oh little lonely eyes, open and radiant." Hell yeah, Dave. Stay with what you do. Dave knows what he does. He knows what he's good at, and he does it.
Is Halloween about being rejected three times after proposing marriage?
Is it? I don't know.
Like, when you look at like people's like genius analysis of the lyrics, I'm like, oh wow, okay, cool.
Why this lonely love?
I wonder if artists.
Yeah, that's not very Halloween. Took a turn there, Dave.
I wonder if artists look at their genius though interpretations and are like, really? Oh,
huh.
Okay,
interesting.
Cool. Good.
Yeah. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
And we're back. Beverly Hills. Let's talk about Halloween in Beverly Hills.
That's where I want.
All
right.
Dude, Weezer, bring us back, Weezer. Yeah, they have officially ruined Halloween. Now, this is more of a local story for us Angelinos because Mayor Garcetti of LA, he first started off with the city of Los Angeles being like, yo,
no trick or treating.
Oh, we're trick or treating? You bet. Oh, hell no. It's a fucking pandemic. We're not trick or treating. I don't give a fuck what you said. Cut to 3 hours later. Okay, I am sorry. Do your own thing, LA. My bad. Didn't mean to like try and look out for y'all as the fucking mayor. Really, all they did just said is like they would actually would advise against it. That's what they went from being like, it ain't happening to like, we're going to say like, don't do that. But we'll see what happens. In Beverly Hills, though, you know, in that little enclave, the mayor is not fucking playing around. And it is very specific, the ban on trick-or-treating in Beverly Hills. Weird. It says, specifically, giving candy, toys, or treats to anyone outside one's household is prohibited, no matter if the handouts pass through a front door or the trunk of a car, the latter being known as trunk-or-treating. They also said the city has banned, quote, spraying shaving cream on others, end quote. Though it gave licensed barbers an exemption. Thank God. Beverly Hills residents can also feel free to spray cream members of their own households within those households.
What?
Is the mayor the most concerned fucking parent on earth?
What happened to the mayor with the shaving cream?
Somebody sprayed shaving cream.
Yeah, someone they got that shaving cream prank and just have never recovered. Yeah. Their whole career has been an excuse to legislate people's ability to spray cream each other.
It's so specific. Like in the actual wording of this, you know, from the city, bam, boom, house to house trick or treating or car to car trick or treating. The second thing that's prohibited is spraying shaving cream on others. I mean, I get it. You're getting like a bunch of possibly contaminated like liquids on your face or some shit and it's around. But like it seems like such a overly.
I don't understand.
I never even did that shit.
Yeah. No. The only time I used shaving cream was with the prank where you put it on someone's hand and then tickle their nose at a sleepover. And I think.
Right.
That's punishable by death in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You will get put away for a long time.
Cut your nose off for that shit.
All right. That's going to do it for this week's weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
This is Raquel Willis from Queer Chronicles. Right now, there are close to 500 anti-LGBTQ plus bills in state legislatures across the country. Lambda Legal is leading the charge against these hateful bills that target mostly trans and non-binary people. You can fight discrimination and help write the next chapter of Lambda Legal history. To learn more about their open cases and to donate, visit lambdalegal.org. That's lambdalegal.org.